You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the All Marine Radio Christmas House, or if it's not the Christmas House, then it would have to be the Season's Greetings House. Either way, it's all good. I was just looking. I thought I saw a headline about Time's person of the year, but I'm not sure I really understood it. So anyway, good morning to you. Grant Newsham's going to join us today, so we're going to talk about things in the Pacific Rim, which is pretty interesting right now. You know, the Justice Department would not arrest somebody, right? We were talking yesterday, Alex Hollings and I. Unless, like, if you read the charge sheet on her, it's, like, ridiculous, right? Because they just don't, have you ever heard of them doing that? Yeah, me neither, because it doesn't happen. So, if they're doing it, it's got to be gross, right? It's got to be so stupid that even the most genteel among us would say, yeah, she needed to be arrested, okay? So, I don't recall, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, when I remember a case, something like this, with such a visible person. So, we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about the confrontation between the United States and China that seems to be looming. And I don't think it's going to be, there's way too much to lose to be a military confrontation, so I don't think it's that. But I think that the economic confrontation that's going on is absolute positively necessary and something that the President of the United States, it's his responsibility to do. Because China, somebody yesterday, who will remain nameless, was texting me about industrial espionage, and I'm hoping he'll come on the program. But the amount of research and development that the Chinese have stolen from us is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And so, at some point, doesn't that need to end, or no? And then the theft of intellectual property, the Chinese just say no, 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 no. I mean, at some point, don't you think? At some point, to quote Grant, the United States actually standing up on its hind legs. And to me, interesting. The other thing that's going to make news this morning, and I hope they just lay the absolute wood to this dude, is Google's going to be in front of Congress. In fact, as we speak, right, the CEO of Google is making his way, Sundar Pichai. So he's going to testify about emails that have been leaked from Google that have tried to suppress, that have discussed censoring or somehow skewing search results on certain words that would take you to there and not here. So you want to read about this, but you're not going to get that. Or these results will be excluded from that, specifically from conservative websites. I hope they absolutely lay the wood to them about Google's work relative to China. So that going on today, and then as always in the backdrop, what's gone on with France? So Emmanuel Macron, who was a great globalist 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago? No, it would have been a month ago today, on November 11th, when he bitched the whole Western civilization out for being a bunch of bozos, because they were going down the same road of nationalism that spawned World War One. First of all, he needs to read his history. Obviously, the dude didn't major in it or didn't come close to it, because the conditions now are nothing akin. Right? What I think, this is just Mac's take on the nationalism that you see, is the working people that went into the streets in Paris, and there were those, are tired of having people like Emmanuel Macron and Barack Obama talk about globalism and a better world when their standard of living is going down. And I think that's what you see. And I'm going to, I need to run into my garage, so I'll play the opening before I do this. But I want to go get Edmund Morris's, and I'll see if I can find it, live on the air, which normally doesn't work out too well. But it's in the opening of his, of the book, the huge, I want to say it's like 500-page biography that he writes about Theodore Roosevelt. And it takes, the biography takes you up to when Roosevelt becomes president. Okay, so it starts, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I read it years ago. It starts with Roosevelt having just left Buffalo on a train headed for Washington, D.C. He's already been sworn in as president after Garfield was assassinated in Buffalo. Is that who was assassinated in Buffalo? I think so. Anyway, and it talks about Roosevelt's concern that America is going to follow the European trend towards anarchy, towards political violence, and that the solution, the remedy to that, was to enhance the life of the working person, actually the working man at the time, and to create a middle class. That in the United States there would be three classes. Of the classes, the middle class would be the largest class and most economically robust. So I'm going to see if I can find that. What you're seeing, and I'm going to link it to, when Trump says that he likes tariffs. Tariffs protect jobs. Tariffs, now, they make your soccer ball cost $6 instead of $4. I know that. Okay. They protect jobs. They protect the middle class. And so this whole notion of globalism, so everything's going to be made in China. Everything's going to be made in someplace in Africa where they don't pay shit. China, where wages are kept artificially low. And everybody thinks that's okay. That's interesting. So, but it's this race to the bottom. So what happens to all the jobs that supported family? They leave the United States, that's for sure. Well, what happened to all those people? Where do they go get jobs? Well, you better be recreating jobs in your nation, and they better be the kind of jobs that have union benefits, that have health care, that pay good money, that have good retirements. What retirement? You mean the retirement that used to be like your dad got, but the one you got is your 401k? Yeah, exactly. So you can see that the what France is dealing with is not a small issue. And what the fight that the United States fights, it's not a small issue. It's a big issue. And you're seeing that political instability between the haves and the have-nots, which is growing in the Western world because of this quote-unquote globalism. Because all boats aren't rising. That was the unique thing about the United States in the 20th century. You know, literally, all boats rose. And now what you have is you have the third largest nation on the planet with the highest standard of living. It's off the hook for the number of people in our country. It's amazing. So, it's interesting, very interesting to watch Emmanuel Macron yesterday do an about-face and become a nationalist. Right? Holy smokes. France first. Make France great. Make France great again. Mafa. No. It's too many consonants. Mfuraga. Something like that. So anyway, so good morning to you. Yeah, Grant Newsom's going to join us. We'll talk about things. But yeah, I was thinking about that. I couldn't sleep for shit last night. And so that was in my head about Roosevelt coming to and seeing a United States. I mean, if you remember in American political history, American history, you know, you had around the time of, I think there was a couple, there were guys called, that would put to death Sacco and Vanzetti in the United States. And I remember reading Nicola Sacco and Bartholomew Vanzetti were Italian-born American anarchists who were controversially convicted of murdering a guard and a paymaster during an April 15, 1920 armed robbery of the Slater and Morrell Shoe Company in Braintree, Massachusetts. How about that? I have no idea where my car keys or shoes are any given day, and I yanked that one out of my ass. Are you kidding me? I'm going to save this video, this audio. Holy shit. After a few hours of deliberation on July 14, 1921, the jury convicted Sacco and Vanzetti of first-degree murder, and they were sentenced to death by the trial judge. Anti-Italianism, anti-immigrant bias, and an anti-left political motive were suspected as having heavily influenced the verdict. A series of appeals followed, funded largely by the private Sacco and Vanzetti Defense Committee. The appeals were based on recanted testimony, conflicting ballistics evidence, a prejudicial pretrial statement by the jury foreman, and a confession by an alleged participant in the robbery. All appeals were denied by the trial judge, Webster Thayer, and also later denied by the Massachusetts State Supreme Court. By 1926, the case had drawn worldwide attention as details of the trial and the men's suspected innocence became known. Sacco and Vanzetti became the center of one of the largest causes in modern history. In 1927, protests on their behalf were held in every major city, 1927, in North American Europe, as well as Tokyo, Sydney, São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, Buenos Aires, Johannesburg, and Auckland, New Zealand. You gotta be kidding me. Celebrated writers, artists, and academics pleaded for their pardon for a new trial. Harvard Law Professor and future Supreme Court Justice Felix Frankfurter argued for their innocence in a widely read Atlantic Monthly article that was later published in the form of a book. They were scheduled to die on April 1927, accelerating the outcry. Let's see. Responding to the influx of telegrams urging the pardon, Massachusetts Governor Alvin T. Fuller appointed a three-man commission to investigate the case. After weeks of secret deliberation that included interviews with judges, lawyers, and several witnesses, the commission upheld the verdict. Sacco and Vanzetti were executed in the electric chair just after midnight on August 23, 1927. Subsequent riots destroyed property in Paris, London, and other cities. Investigations in the aftermath of the executions continued through the 30s and the 40s. The publication of the men's letters, containing eloquent professions of innocence, intensified belief in their wrongful conviction. Additional ballistics tests and incriminating statements by the men's acquaintances have clouded the case. On August 23, 1977, the 50th anniversary of their execution, Massachusetts Governor Michael Dukakis issued a proclamation that Sacco and Vanzetti had been unfairly tried and convicted, and that any disgrace should forever be removed from their name. Anyway, they were anarchists, like, in the United States. And so, how does the anarchy movement survive? Yeah, God only, how did I remember that? Anyway, well, it survives when you have such great, when you have, you lose economic hope. I can't get to where they are ever. I can't, there are no more middle class jobs. I can go drive for Uber, or, you know, I can work for Google and be part of the aristocracy. Well, I didn't go to college. Well, then we're just going to take our... So anyway, that is the condition that I think the Western world risks when you lose all the jobs, not all the jobs, a substantial number of the jobs that support your middle class, and you can't create and get people into the jobs that you're creating in your country. So it's a bit of a dilemma. It's a bit of a dilemma. So I'm going to go off. I'll see if I can find that book. I know where it is. And then we'll check news headlines. And I'm really interested to see Google squirm. Yeah, all these punk ass people that run these huge corporations. Here's the next question. You see a guy like Jeff Bezos who has more money than anybody on the planet right now, I think, right? Does his wealth rival or exceed like guys like John D. Rockefeller when oil was discovered in the United States and the big Standard Oil thing and all of that? Interesting question, yes? Interesting question. The ways to leverage that across the world, around the world, I think it's across the country and around the world, are certainly much greater than they were when John Rockefeller made his money. But on a relative basis, Bezos, Zuckerberg, these are titans of today. Should they be busted up as Roosevelt busted up Standard? Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt, the trust buster. So anyway, but what happened was the creation of the American middle class. In fact, you look at the things that he proposed, the 8-hour workday, right? All these workplace reforms that he proposed. I mean, he was light years ahead of his time. Child labor laws. So, we'll start the show. And I'm going to go run in my garage and get the book. It wasn't Garfield. It was McKinley, you dope. How could I not know that? But no, remember, Sacco and Vanzetti were anarchists. That's disturbing. All right, so we will start the program. United States Marine Corps Band will make an appearance. Good morning to you on this Tuesday. Bad news out of the Western Pacific. The United States Marine Corps has officially called off the search for 5 Marines aboard the KC-130. none of which got out of the aircraft, evidently. And so as the days have gone on, no doubt that their family, the families of those Marines, have had to come to grips with the probability that they would ever see their son or daughter again. So this is dedicated to them. The Marine Corps announced late last night, this morning, quote, I have made, this is by the commanding general of the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, somebody who's been on All Marine Radio before, quote, Eric Smith, Lieutenant General type, I have made the determination to end the search and rescue operations for the crew of the KC-130J aircraft, which was involved in a mishap off the southern coast of Japan, and to declare that these Marine warriors are deceased. Every possible effort was made to recover our crew, and I hope the families of those selfless Americans will find comfort in the incredible efforts made by the United States, Japanese, and Australian forces during the search. All of us This is from the squadron commander. All of us in the Sumo family, which is evidently their call sign, are extremely saddened following the announcement of the conclusion of our search and rescue operations, Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Mitchell Morey said. He's a commanding officer of VMGR 152. Quote, we know this difficult decision was made after all resources were exhausted in the vigorous search for our Marines. Anyway. So this is dedicated to those Marines, their families. May God hold you in his hand. May he hold that hand close to his heart.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
My Teddy Roosevelt research is going to have to wait. Sorry about that. I ran out in the garage. I found the book. Maybe it's in his second book. It's very cool, though, because what the book describes is Roosevelt's trip from Buffalo, where McKinley had been shot, at the World's Fair, to after he's sworn in, and people in the Democratic Party thought they had off-ramped him, right, in his craziness after having been the governor of the state of New York. They were afraid he might be president, so they offered him the job of vice president, and they thought, well, we've seen the last of Roosevelt. So McKinley's assassinated, and then now their worst nightmare, Roosevelt's president of the United States. And they believe him to be, like, legitimately mentally impaired. But what the book describes is Roosevelt's trip, traveling the way that railroads travel, and that is through the industrial parts of cities, right? The back part of a city. Through those railroad tracks, you'll notice, do not wind their way through the wealthy part of town. They wind their way through the poor part of town. And him reflecting on the task in front of him, as he saw it, as now the President of the United States. So the very interesting perspective. I'll dig that out. But, I mean, I think it's when you look at what, and this is what I don't get about Americans that talk about free trade. If you look at the shit that goes on between the United States and China, that's not free trade. That is nothing close to free trade. And so, again, I point to something that I heard President Obama say years ago. Well, you know when he said it? He said it. It was the first trip that he took after Donald Trump had been elected, and everybody was still in shock, right? So he went to Greece, if I recall. And so, oops, Kid Rock. We can do the music to Kid Rock, the weather to Kid Rock. But anyway, Barack Obama gets off the plane in Greece, and he's at this event, and he's talking about the message that the American people have sent. He said, I think there's tremendous frustration in the country. He said, and it can't just be about a race to the bottom relative to wages in our societies. What? That means that your first job is a domestic job, not to be a globalist. That means really you should be the job creator, the economic developer in chief. That should be the, not the commander in chief, the job creator and economic development creator in chief. That's your job. And what you saw is you saw Emmanuel Macron yesterday do about 17 180s in one speech. You know, pleading with the French people. You know, and if history is any judge, when you wait too long to deal with a crisis, which he did, and then you come out and you're begging, history doesn't normally, begging Mac, he didn't beg, okay, call it what you will. History doesn't judge those people very kindly. All right, we'll check the weather, since we have Kid Rock playing now. Sunny and 35 in Quantico. Sunny and 42 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas has warmed up. It is mostly sunny and 46. Clouds and 47 in 29 Palms. Clouds and 47 at Pendleton, second day in a row. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 72. In the El Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 61. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is colder. Clear, dark, and 50 degrees. That's pretty cold. But as I said before, Helmand, very much like 29 Palms, very much like California desert. Dry and hot. Costa Mesa, California, Newport Beach area, cloudy and 54 degrees, on our way to 65 today with a 10% chance of rain. Low overnight of 50. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. More of Auburn Radio coming up as we talk anarchists, Sacco and Vanzetti, Emmanuel Macron, and the future. So Grant Newsham joins us at the top of the hour. Don't touch that dial. We'll check the news headlines coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Colleen is part of a... she takes a medical class designed for kids that want to go into medical professions. I keep telling her she should be a doctor. It's like, well, maybe a nurse. I said, no, why be a nurse if you could be a doctor? Go be a doctor. Nothing against nurses, but, I mean, come on. Aim high, Air Force. I said, then you could join the Navy. Yeah, go be a Marine doctor. She's like, Dad. She said, well, you never know. I said, there you go. I said, look, doctors don't have to do shit, okay? So you don't have to go get screamed at and all that. You just come in. They'll help you pay your loans off. See the world, serve your country. Not a bad deal, Colleen. So today, whatever this program is, they have to take a picture. And you have to wear this little thing they like you to wear. So they'd like you to look professional. So Colleen's got a pair of, like, blue slacks and a white shirt, very conservatively dressed. Right? Not your basic cutesy-wootsy 15-year-old girl kind of dress. She's like, I'm going to get teased all day. I said, it's good for you. It builds character. She said, I have character. I don't need more. I said, you always need more. So she exited the house this morning, wincing at the hazing that she was going to get. I said, yeah, it's good for you there, princess. So anyway, we took some application to go be a candy striper, which my mom was. Yeah, my mom used to volunteer back in the day. I don't know, do they still have candy stripers? They must. But my mom used to do that. She had her candy stripe, uniform. kind of a smock thing, right? Well, I don't know, skirt with kind of a bib and suspenders, and then she wore a white shirt under that and had her white nurse's shoes. My mom would go hand out magazines at Mercy Hospital, the Catholic hospital in town where I was born and had my surgery when I was a kid. Yeah. So, anyway, enough about my personal life. I need to post, though, speaking of my personal life, I need to post. I got a box in the mail yesterday and for my birthday from a listener, and there's four shirts in it, and they have the post-traumatic winning logo on it. Yeah, PTSD, and then the blue W for win that the Cubs fly. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you can check it out. Go to posttraumaticwinning.com. Yeah, you will find the Eight Commandments, don't you know? You will find the Eight Commandments, the two goals and Eight Commandments there. So, posttraumaticwinning.com, all one word. That's right. Mac, did it have to be that long? This program's for literate people. If you're illiterate, ask somebody to type that shit in for you. And then hit send. All right, so if you do that, you'll see two goals, Eight Commandments. Click on that. And I don't know, for some reason, this is an image, right? So that whole thing's an image. If you click on it, you'll get a much clearer version of it. Okay? I don't know why. I don't know. Mac, it has to do with resolution. Blah, blah, blah. Stop already. It's limitations of websites, honestly, that can't take an image. So we'd have to recreate the text. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, something that you don't want to hear, trust me. Anywho, if you click on that, there's a downloadable and a scalable. Yeah, scalable, which means you can zoom it. Version of post-traumatic winning, two goals and eight commandments. So you can check that out. If you're so inclined, you can go ahead and email me your thoughts on it. I would appreciate that. And what this is designed to be, just so you know, is when I go speak and do this thing, which I'll go do for a week in the first week in January for the 2nd Marine Division at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. What it's designed to be is a one-page document, okay? So it's designed to be brief and blunt with the commandments and then a couple bullets underneath each one of them that might amplify it in a very succinct way. So I'm still in the process of making small tweaks, but I think it's in the format. And I think those eight commandments are the things that I want to be in there. So, take a look at that. Anyway, somebody took a long way to the point that I'm supposed to make. Somebody took the logo that you see. Do you see it? Where is it? Okay. The logo is in the little tab on your browser. You'll see a W with a circle, a W, and then underneath it there's some red writing. That's the Cubs W that they fly at Wrigley Field, their home stadium, when they win, right? That whole thing, Cubs win, Cubs win. You'll see people with T-shirts and stuff. So, I mean, it's just a blue W, right, on a white field, or a white W on a blue field, because those are the Cubs colors. Anywho, so I put PTSD under the bottom of that, and I'll post an image for the first hour today. You can check it out of what I got sent. Four shirts that have that logo on it. Very, very cool. I was geeked. And then I also got a Grinch, a small stuffed animal Grinch doll. And for whatever reason, I like the Grinch doll. I know, Mac, you got issues. Seriously, I do. But, yeah, one of them is I can't sleep the last two nights. Shit. Let me tell you what. I kid you not, this never happened to me in 2.5 years of doing the show. I was awake starting at 3 o'clock this morning. And then I fell asleep at, I don't know, 5-something. And I heard my alarm go off and shut it off. I woke up again, and I remember thinking, that didn't feel like I just kind of hit snooze, okay? It felt like I went back to sleep. I wonder what time it is. Look at the clock, 6:56. Yeah, exactly. Never happened to me before. So, anyway. But the Grinch, I like, for whatever reason. Sitting in my kitchen on the window right above the sink. Right? Got legs, so the legs are hanging over the windowsill. He's sitting with his back to the window. So I see him. When I see him, it makes me happy. The Grinch does. Now, the concept of the Grinch, I've had to evolve the concept of the Grinch because I've thought about the Grinch. Grinch suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, right? He was traumatized. That's why he acted out the way he acted out. Okay, so I used to say, and I used his heart growing, okay? But when I talk about it, I talk about when you reach out to other people, that's what happens to you when you get the letters. I read two letters yesterday. One asked Mike and I to do a gun talk segment on the AK series of weapons. But in the first paragraph, he talks about how cool he thinks All Marine Radio is and how it seriously made him reconsider how much that he was drinking, and he changed that in his life. Like, fucking hello? Like, my day's going to be bad after reading that? Yeah, I don't think so. And so what happens to you when you feel that is your heart grows. And the parallel I draw what has been between the Grinch, because it's a visual we all know, right? When the Grinch's heart grows. But the Grinch, he's the bad guy, right? What you don't see in the movie is that the Who people, their hearts grew that day too. When they were around singing, right, and touching the Grinch, when he comes back, they know they've changed his life forever. So if the Grinch's heart grew 3 times that day, the Who people's heart grew 6 times that day, knowing that their restraint, their love, and their mentoring, and their unselfish act changed the lives of somebody else. So I've had to kind of modify the whole Grinch thing. Okay. Because it's a power. The thing I like about the Grinch is that everybody knows it. When you say, you know, when the Grinch's heart grows 3 times, everybody says yes. Okay. So chunking information, a powerful memory you draw on, right, to make them, and it makes everybody laugh a little bit. So I've had to like footnote that a little bit. Well, the Grinch's heart grows 3 times, but what I want you to do is to be a disciple of post-traumatic winning. Yeah, and then I get another email over the weekend that talks about, hey, I reached out to this guy, somebody who was struggling with their own shit. Now he reaches out to somebody that shows up at the shooting range with him. The dude's shy and all that. He says, are you okay? And the guy opens up. They're buddies now. They sit down and talk about All Marine Radio and post-traumatic winning. And so, it continues. So anyway, very cool. The shirts are cool. I'll put a picture up. And the Grinch is cool. The Grinch is cool. The person who sent it said, I'm not sure, really sure how you're going to feel about the Grinch. I love the Grinch, man. I saw him this morning. I'm like, what's up, bro? Time to go out and do good things. Time to grow hearts. Time to grow hearts. All right. We don't have much time. Grant Newsom's going to join us in about probably 5, 7, 8 minutes, something like that. So let me bomb through the just headlines Surge called off for 5 Marines aboard the lost KC-130 from last week. The next of kin, obviously, know, but have not been officially notified, according to the Marine Corps. So no names have been released, although one family, I want to say in Fredericksburg, Virginia, held a vigil for their son. So those official notifications are going on. As we speak, the Marine Corps said 24 hours after they're notified that they will release the names. Marine Corps has a CH-53 damaged during ground taxi Class A mishap. A few details are available following the accident, which occurred at Marine Corps Air Station New River in North Carolina, but nobody was injured during the event, according to First Lieutenant Sam Stevenson, a spokesman for the 2nd Marine Air Wing. The incident occurred while the helicopter was taxiing back to the squadron following a routine training flight. The Corps would not provide a damage or cost assessment, but the accident was listed as a Class A mishap on a military safety report. Class A defines the Navy defines a Class A mishap when an aircraft is destroyed or sustains $2 million or more in damages, or if there was a fatality or permanent disability. The cause of the damage was as the CH-53 was taxiing, its landing gear inadvertently retracted. Huh? There you have it. I don't have time, so stuff's crazy. Stuff I've never heard of in my life. Some troops may leave the border. That is in the news. Trump changes his mind again on military spending. Now he wants a big boost. Told Secretary Mattis to plan for a budget of $750 billion in fiscal year 2020. The funding for the benefits, right, of victims of Agent Orange in the Blue Water Navy, which were when that stuff was loaded on and carried across the Pacific, right, poured into bombs and loaded and stuff like that. Not bombs, but aerial sprayers and things like that. An estimated 90,000 veterans will be affected by this, appears to be dead for the year. There is much being written about the disciplinary action that AFRICOM took after the Secretary of Defense got his hands on it. So, Secretary of Defense has thrown out the reprimand for a United States Army captain and is looking for more senior, evidently, according to reports, is looking for more senior officers in the chain of command to blame. So, stand by on that. Iraq celebrates a victory over ISIS, which has been a year since they announced it, while grappling with the legacy of ISIS. So, those are top headlines. The other headline is the DOD put out a statement yesterday saying that General Dunford will serve out his entire term. We talked about a little bit yesterday. That kind of came about when the president announced the nomination of General Milley, whatever his name is, to succeed Dunford 10 months before it happens. So, anyway, the president hasn't issued any additional comment on that? Top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, search called off for five Marines lost aboard the KC-130. Two, more than a rifle, how a new 6.8-round advanced optics will make soldiers, Marines, a lot deadlier. Number three, behind the White House's plan to be more aggressive in cyberspace. Number four, senior Chinese military official urges plan to attack U.S. naval vessels in the South China Sea. Number five, Pentagon. Dunford will serve his full term as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The Defense Department spokesman on Monday said that Joint Chiefs Chairman Joe Dunford would serve the remainder of his term despite President Trump announcing his successor 10 months ahead of the date. All right, so we'll take a quick break. We'll get Grant Newsham on, and we'll continue. We'll ask Grant a hard question. So don't touch that dial. He's always interesting and certainly ought to be so given current events in the Western Pacific. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Tuesday right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.